So I'm Todd Reifstuck. I work on performance, power, memory, I/O, everything we can do to make the browser faster and run on less. I'm co-chair of the W3C Web Performance Group, where we standardize all the JavaScript APIs for measuring your performance within the browser. So the first question before we can start talking about how we made the browser faster is really, how does the browser work? You've seen the pipeline a few times today, but I'm going to walk through this pipeline and tell you how we've made each piece faster. The first piece of the pipeline is networking. Networking consists of opening sockets, HTTP requests, the cache, and the cookies. All of those are a piece of the networking layer. The next component are the parsers. The three main parsers are the HTML parser, the CSS parser, and the JavaScript parser. What parsers do is they read this content that's coming from the network or out of the cache and put them in a machine-readable format for the other subsystems to use. The next component is the DOM tree. So the HTML parser takes HTML files off the network and then makes them into a DOM tree. There's other subcomponents that go along with the DOM tree for CSS and for JavaScript that also kind of live in this area. After we have the DOM tree and we have CSS, the next step is to apply that CSS to the DOM tree, to figure out exactly which of those styles apply to which nodes. We call that phase formatting. Once we have that, we then calculate the sizes of all of those things in that tree, and we build something we call the layout tree or the CSS box tree. That tree is then handed off, and we make a display tree from it, which we then build the actual pixels onto these boxes, which we then send to the OS for something called compositing. And what the OS does is it takes all of these pixels, figures out exactly how the various windows and all the various layers we've created fit together, and paints them to the screen. Now, the other piece of this pipeline that I'm going to talk about is JavaScript. So it turns out that almost everything through this entire pipeline has a hook to JavaScript. It turns out the input in the upper right can trigger JavaScript. It turns out that JavaScript itself can be scheduled from script tags when we run the parser. It turns out that the scrolling from input, the timeouts that are scheduled, and yep, all of it. It's basically, and networking, that's the last one. Networking has callbacks, so when networking comes off the wire, it can also schedule JavaScript. There's lots more things that schedule JavaScript. It's a critical system. So the first piece I'm going to describe for you is networking and the things that we've improved in the Edge 15 and Edge 16 versions of the browser. So in these versions, we've got link headers for pre-connect, cache control immutable, improved cache retrieval, and we've improved our ability to do networking off the UI thread. So link header pre-connect. We've added the link header pre-connect to Edge 16 coming out this fall. What you get from this is the ability to, at toddreifstuck.com, which is a really important site you definitely want to connect to, doesn't exist, by the way, you probably want some art. And on a slow connection, if you wait for the parser to get to the point where it has the image tag, it's going to wait until it sees it, and then it's going to open a socket. By putting the link header to toddreifstuck.com in your HTML request response, what will happen is that the networking layer can see this header and instantly open a socket. Because it's opening the socket, then by the time the parser gets there, the socket is already starting to be opened, and it will mean that it's faster to start downloading the bytes. You can generally configure this in your CDN or in your web server. The second feature that we've added is cache control immutable. Immutable means not changing. And so cache control immutable allows you to mark a specific resource or a response as immutable. And in doing so, you're effectively saying, this JavaScript file, this HTML, this CSS is not going to change. When the browser stores a resource and knows that it's immutable, it means that we don't have to ask the server if this has changed. We don't have to spend the time to ask the server, get a 304 back before we can validate that what's in the cache actually works. Because of that, we just grab it from the cache and load it into the browser. So Patrick McManus of Mozilla implemented this in Firefox this spring and analyzed Facebook, which was the original requester for cache control immutable. In my testing, a typical feed may initially be comprised of 150 different resources. Pressing refresh in Firefox 49 generated just 25 network requests. So reducing 125 network requests is a pretty big perf win. The third thing we've done networking is improving our cache retrieval. So the HTTP cache on a machine can be a messy place. As we go across the internet, there's a large number of images, JavaScript files, CSS, that are only used once ever in the browser. In addition, there are large files, there are small files, there's files labeled with cache immutable. Having the browser make good decisions about what it keeps in the cache is a tough puzzle. So in Edge 16, what we've done is we've improved those heuristics. What you should see is that you see fewer 304s, you see more of the immutable files and files with ages on them, not making those requests, staying in the cache. Meaning that your pages load faster. Now, this one is networking off the UI thread. Now, Edge has always done its networking off the UI thread. That's been true for years and years, as long as we've ever done this. However, it turns out that many of the operations that are done requiring networking have setup costs or in the middle of the operation costs that were syncing to the UI thread when it wasn't necessary. So we have, in the last couple of releases, improved fetch, added send beacon, rebuilt XML HTTP requests on that same networking stack, and replumbed the source tag on audio and video to use this new stack. You can expect to see us do more improvements in the upcoming releases. So here's a video showing the initial release when we shipped fetch. And what we have here is some JavaScript that's using networking to load a bunch of images. On the left, that's the brand new fetch feature shipped in Edge 14. And on the right, you have XML HTTP requests in that same release. And there's a script constantly running on this page that's just burning the UI thread, taking up 2 seconds, to show that when you have a networking API that's syncing back to the UI thread with heavy web activity, you're not gonna have the same speed of downloads and performance. And fetch is clearly beating XML HTTP requests in this benchmark. Oh. And then this is Edge 15. Sorry, I went backwards. There it goes. Edge 15, where you'll see fetch going the same speed, and then you're going to see XML HTTP request, which is completed in roughly the same amount of time. By replumbing XML HTTP request on top of the fetch API, this new fetch infrastructure that's on a background thread, we see the improved perf in it as well. It's off by a couple of seconds. That's just bad luck due to a set timeout getting in the way as the promise is completed. So the next piece of the pipeline, parsers. We made two major improvements in Edge 16 for parsers. The first one was in the HTML parser. It turns out that long, long ago, HTML parsers would parse something that required a download and then would wait. And we did this for script, we did this for CSS. And it turned out that our browser was still doing this for style sheets, even though it didn't need to. The second thing we improved was the JavaScript parser to make it more optimal for deferring more parsing. So here's an example web page that will be improved from this improvement to CSS. This web page has 3 CSS elements, and we saw on slow latency networks that this page downloading 3 files would not get that really important hero image to the screen as fast because it would require waiting. And now in Edge 16, we see improvements. This actually came from a Microsoft website investigation we did. The other big thing, which Brian talked about earlier from the JavaScript team, is improving the deferred parsing. Another Microsoft website investigation we did showed that a bundler was wrapping all of the code in the website in try catches. That makes sense. You want to catch errors. They wanted to report the errors. It's not that crazy. Except it turned out the heuristics of the JavaScript parser were parsing all of the functions inside of that try catch, causing a very large page load delay. So in Edge 16, the JavaScript team has improved their parser, and they defer even more parsing. In this example here, imagining that requires almost no JavaScript was just a tiny little function in one of these libraries, we would pay very little parsing costs, and then we would only parse requires almost no JavaScript at the time this console.log calls it. And this button requires some heavy pushing. So this is a little demo that Nolan Lawson, who will be speaking next, put together, showing how in RS1, shoving some try catches around a bunch of bundled libraries, you know, 360 milliseconds to load. And then in the Edge 16 release, it's 170 milliseconds. So that's a 200 millisecond win in a page load. We actually did see wins bigger than this on internal websites. The next piece of the pipeline is the DOM tree, and also the various DOM APIs that surround the DOM tree and the various states surrounding the DOM tree. So we did two significant things in the last year in the DOM. The first thing is passive event listeners. And the second thing really is not just a one-year project. It's the DOM tree rewrite. The DOM tree rewrite has been a thing that has taken multiple years for the DOM tree to complete. We had an opportunity when we moved from IE11 to a brand new engine to look at what it was going to take to build a modern browser and to support the modern web. And one of the key pieces of our engine that needed to be rebuilt was the DOM tree. I'm going to talk you through why. So the DOM tree is the center of many pieces of the browser. As you can see here, JavaScript has to work through the DOM tree, editing, spell check, many, many pieces of the browser are built upon the DOM tree, which is all the HTML. So there are multiple things built upon the DOM tree. But the old DOM tree was built back in the 90s, the initial infrastructure that the DOM tree is built on. That initial infrastructure was built in a day when word processors were the primary technology for how we thought about text. And this format here, you can see, was very efficient and tight for thinking about how to store text on a web page. So in this very simple example, you can see that H would be at position 1 in this very tight array. And you'd have a very small, you know, 16-character array to store the text for a web page. This made a lot of sense in the day of word processors. And then there was a second structure, which was used for storing the information about the various elements. Let's call it the formatting information. Are you a header? Are you a paragraph? All of that type of information. And this formatting tree was originally simple, but then as we had more dynamic web content and the more complex elements, more and more complex structures came into being. The second complexity here is that this structure didn't actually have the text of the page, the contents of the elements, and so there was a complex mapping between the tree and the character indexes, requiring a lot of extra bookkeeping. So, in addition to all of that, there were multiple other subsystems making the DOM tree complex. So what we imagine when we think about the modern web and we look at HTML, most people think the DOM tree is just a structure. It's a simple tree. So knowing about the complexity we had, thinking about what it would take to do a simple tree, the DOM tree thought, how could they approach this problem? It turned out that the browser had entire ecosystem, the entire system was built on top of this text node and character pointer infrastructure, including algorithms that were written in layout, let's say, that were not encapsulated within the DOM. So the first step they took was to think about what should they refactor it to be. And they built a new DOM tree infrastructure, roughly equivalent to how you would think about JavaScript DOM manipulations. Once they had built this infrastructure, they had to spend a lot of time and a lot of hours replacing all of those algorithms throughout all of the source code with this new structure. They flipped that in Edge 14, 15. I actually don't keep track. Here's the funny thing about the entire project. They were doing this from Edge 12, Edge 13, Edge 14, consistently, constantly, throughout every single release. It's like flying a jet and replacing the engine while you're in flight. We were rewriting the whole DOM this entire time. And at the end, we were keeping security, performance, and reliability in mind. And in terms of performance, it turns out it's paid off. In the last year, our score on speedometer has gotten 1.8 times faster. And in the last 2 years, it turns out I have slightly updated numbers from what you guys saw this morning. We're actually 2.7 times faster from our original Edge 12 release. So this new restructuring has really paid off. The second big DOM feature is passive event listers. Now, it is not a two-year experience. It is not the rewrite. But it is a big per feature all on its own. It turns out today, it's really common for events to be put on the page to track some type of action that is not critical. Especially on wheel listeners, we've seen this. It's very common to see detection or networking calls kicked off from this type of code. So passive event listeners allow us to flag this particular event listener as passive. Now, that doesn't optimize the DOM. What it actually does is it optimizes our ability to take advantage of the fact that we know this code's not going to run. So because we know this is passive, the input thread can choose to process this wheel action. In processing the wheel action, what they can do is they just feed that wheel straight to the OS composition layer. And because they've done that, the page can scroll. In parallel to doing that, the JavaScript will run the event on the page thread. So both things can happen at once without blocking the scroll. The next piece I'm going to tell you the fixes on are formatting and layout. So formatting and layout are a very complex piece of our engine. And you should see some improvements in ID attribute changes and class changes. There was quite a bit of work done on this subsystem in this release. Here's a visual representation of formatting, showing you the collection of styles, how we apply the matching algorithm, apply it to the DOM to get a new tree at the end that we can then use to construct our box tree. That's roughly how formatting and layout work. It turns out there are a lot of details to how formatting layout work. And Greg Whitworth has an awesome 40-minute talk. 2 minutes on layout and formatting really just isn't enough to go into this. And this talk is excellent. So what did we make fast? I'm going to show you just a couple quick demos. Here, we've got a little bit of code that brings a brand new class into existence. This class is not in the CSS files. It hasn't existed. And then we provoke a layout by checking the height, something that should almost never be done. But it's useful for a demo. This is what Edge 15 recorded as this little demo, 250 milliseconds roughly. And then there is the time going almost to zero in Edge 16. So simple operation, we see it in web pages, and we've optimized it away. Here's a second example. We've got background color and a style. And in general, background color is not an inherited property. And we have added a new class that has background color. Forcing layout. Edge 15, almost 300 milliseconds. Edge 16, cutting the time to 50 milliseconds. So these improvements are seen on some top websites. that have what we'll refer to as layout thrashing, where they're making a lot of layout operations. These improvements make a difference in your web page's load times. The last subsystem we have is painting and compositing. So we have done more proof of work. I think this is the last system on our pipeline. So you heard earlier from Greg when he described how we did independent rendering back in IE11. He showed how in each frame there's a set of work, which is basically the pipeline I showed. And originally we were doing painting on that thread. And so in IE11, we did the feature, but there were a number of web features that could opt us out. And over time, those features have been used more and more. When we first shipped IE11, those features were barely used on the web. So video without controls, video elements, could opt us out. Advanced SVG and Canvas. And there's a couple more. So we've built a demo here. This demo you can use to test your own HTML for independent rendering, built by Nolan Lawson, who'll be up next. You can see in the upper left, it uses a request animation frame FPS meter as a way to give you an idea of whether the UI thread is busy. And it has some checkboxes for the things we've optimized, and then a nice little box there where you can fill in your own custom HTML if you're trying to figure out why you're seeing a lot of painting costs. If you see this and you think it shouldn't do that, please let me know, because it'll be something we can optimize. So I'm going to show you a couple videos. On the left side, this is Edge 14 from last fall, and on the right side, that's Edge 15 from this spring. You can see on the left, it's about 45 to 50 FPS. And on the right, we're smoking along at 60 FPS, which is basically getting all of the painting off the UI thread when that video is playing on the screen. Again, upper right, that little orange box, that's a canvas. On the left, again, painting slowed down because of the canvas in Edge 15. In Edge 16, smoking at 60. And then the last demo, SVG. So this is an SVG that I think has a clip path, perhaps a couple other advanced features. On the left, 45, 50 FPS, and on the right, 60 FPS. Now, I can show these examples, but you know, maybe your web page doesn't have exactly this code. So Apple released a benchmark this spring, MotionMark. The point of MotionMark is to measure how browsers respond to graphical actions. And after these independent rendering improvements in Edge 16, we saw a 43% improvement in our motion mark scores. So that's a fairly impressive win. So I've gone through the whole pipeline of what I showed. It turns out there's some glue that sort of schedules everything in the browser, the event loop. In Edge 15, we prioritized the input queue for how the event loop runs. Actually, we created a brand new event loop code from scratch and added prioritized input. So on the pipeline, think of event loop as a scheduler. All the work that's scheduled in JavaScript, all the work of scheduling when to run parsers, when to run formatting for each paint beat, when we're going to run input, all of that is controlled by the event loop. So this is an example of the event loop in action. Again, this is a faux news article with a lot of heavy work on the in the background. And on the left is Edge 14. And see how it's struggling to scroll as the down and up arrow are being pressed? On the right, see how it's just scrolling smoothly. Now, this isn't a trick. No browser has asynchronous, you know, up, down arrow scrolling. This is actually the event loop prioritizing those up and down clicks over that background work that's going on. The second major improvement we've made is the browser has two big components. We think of the app as the frame, and then we've got the content. It turns out that there was some tight coupling between them, and there were ways in which you could have content in the web page interfere with a frame, and the frame getting busy and interfering with the content. So in Edge 15, we completely separated those so that they are isolated from each other. This improves their reliability and their performance. So this is Edge 14 running crashmybrowser.com. And crashmybrowser.com is a fun site that a web developer built to show off how badly web browsers behaved when websites ran out of control. And here you can see in Edge 14 how the user is trying to scroll, he's trying to open and close new tabs, you see the not responding window, and generally it's kind of an unpleasant activity. So this is Edge 15 doing the same work, and what you'll observe is it just works. Every time you click, every time you do a new tab, everything is smooth and silky. So this is a pretty big deal, and Edge 15 really feels like a new browser from this work. So the pipeline, end-to-end in the last two releases, we have improved something in every single piece of it. And in the next release, we're going to improve something in almost every single piece again. It's what the perf team does, it's what the web platform team does. Now, how do we know what to do next? We analyze web pages, but the other way we find out is people contact us. They tell us about their web pages. They tell us about the things they need faster. So you can email perfclub@microsoft.com or open issues, and we'll be happy to analyze and work with you to figure out what we can do to make the web faster. Maybe we can make a clicker. Point it at the podium. Ah, thank you. Thank you.